Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Siéntate, por favor.
You know, some things just never change here. Am I here or am I here? We've got the clown section back there. It's still there. It's good. Oh, good to be with you, freshmen. You don't know me. I don't know you. But you're the reason I resigned, because I knew you were coming, so. Sorry about that. Brother Wilkerson asked me to give some announcements here. These are unusual, but, you know, he did call me. He said, number one, no shaving for men until spring semester, so you don't have to shave for the rest of the semester. Two, no curfew for ladies until the spring semester. Three, you don't have to wear a mask any longer. And four, if you believe any one of those announcements, I have some swamp to sell you, okay? Wouldn't that be nice? Of course, most of the guys can't grow a beard anyhow, so. All right. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Also, James chapter 1, Matthew chapter 7. And James chapter 1. Ladies, while you turn there, a question to you: are the guys dating? Okay, I'm changing my message. Turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I need to behave myself, although I really don't need to behave myself. I'm no longer the president. I can say anything I want right now. My moral conscience is sitting right back there saying, don't do it. All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Before I begin reading, I'll try to get serious here. I'm testifying today, this morning, that prayer is the most powerful thing any one of us can do. And yeah, we'll say amen to that, but is it a part of your life? Do you believe that you can accomplish more through prayer than you can physical effort? I do. I really do. Doesn't mean that we don't have to work, but I just think God can do much more than we can do. How many of you believe in prayer? Would you raise your hand? Put your hands down. How many of you have a fervent prayer life? Okay, then you don't believe in prayer. Hate to start off on a kind of negative note, but we need to get serious about this thing called prayer. And, you know, as a college student, you could present so many different excuses. Well, I'm working all the time. I'm tired. But if you really want to meet with God, you need things from God, I think you need to pray. And I love living by faith, and that's what we're going to talk about before we can talk about prayer. Because if you don't have faith, you're not going to pray. That's why. Do you believe that God can give you anything that you want to? The answer is yes, of course. Do you believe that God invites us to pray? Yes, of course, He does. Then why don't we pray? Because we don't really believe. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, and he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give him good things to them that ask him?" And then in James chapter 1, verse number 6, let's read that verse out loud together. Verse number 6, James chapter 1. Ready? "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I thank you for these good, godly young people, these men and women here training for the ministry. They need much grace, Lord. They need much wisdom. And I pray that they'll have enough wisdom to go to people that are much wiser than they. God, I pray that you'll control me and say exactly, help me to say exactly what needs to be said. I'm yielded to you, Lord. This is the message you've laid on my heart, and I know that. You have given me peace about this. God, we want to witness your presence in this chapel service this afternoon. God, help us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I haven't always been what I would call a prayer warrior. As a matter of fact, most of my prayer as a younger Christian and even as a student at Hiles Anderson College, and I hate to admit it, even my early years in the ministry, many years in the ministry, was I prayed when I came up against a wall. I prayed when there was a crisis. In other words, what I'm saying was I was self-sufficient. I could do things on my own. And that's very normal for young Christians. They just think, well, I can handle this on my own. Somewhere in my life, and I won't go through the whole testimony, I discovered I can get much more from God, get much more accomplished if I pray. But before I pray, I need to have faith. And before you have a fervent prayer life, you need to have faith in God. You know, all I have to do is look backwards and say, God, as Brother Ray, Jocelyn just sang the song, he is faithful. There's a great story behind that song, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but he's been faithful to you also. And so we're going to talk about this, and point number one is this: faith is prayer's fuel. Faith is prayer's fuel. You know, if you have a vehicle, most of you run on empty most of the time. And you have to collect a little bit of a dollar here and dollar there for the people that ride you, and you have to chastise them if they don't pay that, and you pretty much run on empty. And I've discovered that most Christians do run on empty. They have very little fuel. They have very little faith. And so that is the root problem why we don't pray. Once you discover that faith is necessary to have a fervent prayer life, you are going to do all that you can to accumulate faith in God. And we're going to have a little primer here of what faith really is so you can understand that. Faith is prayer's fuel. We have to address faith before addressing prayer. Prayer may be the greatest grace that God gives us other than salvation. In other words, a holy God, a sovereign God, invites each and every one of us to say, come unto me. Let us draw near. Come to the throne of grace boldly. That doesn't mean arrogant or cocky. That means come with confidence because I've given you the invitation. Have you prayed this morning? Have you taken time out of your schedule and say, Heavenly Father, I need your presence in my life today. Heavenly Father, I need your help so I can stay awake in classes and in chapel. Heavenly Father, I need help in so many different areas of my life, or are you self-sufficient? You don't need to pray. We would do much better by seeking a stronger faith before we seek to have a fervent prayer life. It is one of the three essentials that the Apostle Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the latter part of that chapter. And he said the three, and I'll just call them the essentials, is love, hope, and faith. That's what all of us need right now. We need to love, we need to feel love. We need faith in God, and we need hope that there's going to be a better tomorrow. Now, I could spell that out and cross the T's and dot the I's doctrinally, theologically, but I'll just leave it at that. When we get to heaven, we won't need faith anymore because we'll see our Savior face to face. When we get to heaven, we won't need any hope anymore because we'll see Him. But we will need love. And that's why love is the greatest. But let's just take a microscope and put faith underneath it. What is faith? Well, let's talk about that for a while. Eventually, you need, by the way, if you neglect the virtue of faith, and how do we neglect the virtue of faith? Well, number one, we neglect God. Number two, we neglect God's word. Number three, we neglect all spiritual matter, all for the sake of, I'm a college student. I'm tired. Well, join the crowd. We're all tired, but you're going to have to make a way to do it, to find that time in the morning or find that time somewhere where you isolate yourself. How you isolate yourself on this campus, that's your choice there. And spend time abiding with Him and seeking Him and desiring Him. Eventually, though, if you neglect these spiritual disciplines, you'll be as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, to the Pharisees, you'll be whited sepulchers. That's the external. You'll look nice on the outside, but on the inside, full of dead man's bones. Are you full of dead man's bones this morning? Because you've neglected, but on the outside, you look good. You know, you whitewashed yourself this morning, and you whitewashed yourself every morning, and hey, it looks good. Paint can do a lot of good things for the exterior aesthetic portion, but it can't do anything for the internal. This is why we have moral failures. You cross the boundaries and you neglect, and you just continue to neglect and neglect until you don't care about the boundaries anymore. Can I challenge you to care about your moral character? And what happens is you start sliding yourself. You start cutting edges, and you start taking shortcuts in your Christian life, which only hurts your character. And it makes it that much easier to do bigger and worse things. Please get serious about your walk with the Lord. So we need to look at faith. Faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a present assurance of a future reality. Listen, all of us are a little bit, to some degree, a little bit frustrated or bothered or disturbed by what's going on in our nation. And we should be. It's criminal activity, what is going on. And I know there's a whole lot of Christians that just want to sweep it under the rug. We can't sweep it under the rug. And that's not my sermon, but may I say we need to pray fervently for our president. We need to pray fervently for this nation. If we want to continue to have the freedom that we are experiencing right at this very moment, we better start praying. And I can be assured because of hope that there's going to be a better tomorrow. If it's not tomorrow, it's going to be the next day. Or if it's never here on this earth, it's going to be in heaven. I have that hope. But faith comes before hope. Faith has a source. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, is a gift of God. God has given to each and every one of us a measure of faith. It's factory. It comes on the factory line. When you were born into this world, God says you get a measure of faith. Now, what you do with that faith is up to you. You can destroy it. I have read articles on men who used to pastor churches. They were godly men, but now they are agnostic. They are atheists. They do not believe God. What happened? They neglected the Word of God. Two, they got hurt. They got hurt, and they opened the doors of demonic activity in their heart. Listen to me. Here's another thing. Those of you who have heard me preach before, you know this, but one of the most dangerous things that can happen to you is to be hurt and not fix it real quick. Because the demons of hell will begin to feed you all the thoughts, and you'll be saying, amen, that's right. You're being lied to. You're being deceived. Oh, how we need faith. How we need to be diligent about our walk with the Lord. Faith must have an object. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and Jesus answering them saith unto them, have faith in God. There's no such thing as having faith in faith. There's no such thing as having faith in a speaker. There's no such thing as having faith in leadership. The only source of faith is God Almighty. It has to have an object. And the more you know that object, the closer you get to Him, the clearer you'll see Him, and your faith will grow. Listen, I counsel with hundreds of people, thousands of people in my ministry, and even up late last night and the day before, and just it's counsel. But let me just tell you something. Christianity has a problem with faith. Marriages are disintegrating because of a poor faith, a weak faith. You say, what does faith have to do with marriage? About everything. I mean, if I have faith in God, then I'm going to obey what God says about marriage. I'm going to believe what God says about loving one another. I'm going to believe everything the Bible says, and that'll make you a godly man. That'll make you a godly woman. And so we need faith. Don't neglect your faith. Don't neglect your walk with God.
Don't graduate. Don't go home on Christmas break being a dead man's bones on the inside. Don't do that. Come home fervent with a positive attitude. Next, faith is obtained by hearing the word of God. You've heard it before. Often you use it in soul winning. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let me help you with something here. Faith cometh by hearing. That means hearing here. That means hearing in our heart. Our heart, our spiritual heart, where the Spirit of God exists, where faith exists, where love exists. It has eyes, it has ears. And so we have to be exposed to the Word of God. But when the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of God, it's not talking about the Logos. Did you hear me? It's not talking about what I'm holding right here. This is the Logos that Jesus speaks of in John chapter 1. It is speaking about the utterance, the voice of God. Now listen, Brother Jack, if you'll come here, I'm going to pretend I'm God and he is a Christian and he is seeking the Lord. He's got a big decision. He is a single college man. He needs a date. And he's nervous. He's a coward. He's frightened because that little frail pretty little girl may say no. Can I just say she may say no, but do it anyhow. You need to get bruised. So Jack is praying. Brother Mitchell is praying. Sorry, Brother Mitchell. And I will represent the utterance, the voice of God. Remember that girl you saw yesterday? And she caught your attention? Ask her out. He just heard the voice of God. And then God leaves. Now, girls, we weren't talking about you. Thank you, Brother Mitchell. Listen, it happens to me quite frequently. Often it will happen in my time with the Lord early in the morning. Sometimes it can come from hearing a message. And this is why some of you are so closed right now. Jesus could preach a Sermon on the Mountain. It wouldn't move you because of the condition of your soul. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, we ought to crave hearing the voice of God. And when we discover what price that we have to pay to hear the voice of God, we ought to do that. Pay that price. This is increasing your faith. You think that if you sit in a chapel service, you think if you sit in a classroom, a church service, you're automatically going to be doused with faith and you're going to come home strong. Then why do you leave 3 minutes after a sermon and not know what it was about? Because you were not receptive. Listen, the transmitter is always faithful, our Heavenly Father. We, the receiver, were not faithful. There are people here right now, your mind is 1,000 miles away. You come to chapel almost every day and you click it off. This is your catch-up time. This is your to-do list. This is your flirt with your boyfriend, flirt with your girlfriend time. And this is the time that God has appointed at Hiles Anderson College to hear the voice of God. And there needs to be some Holy Ghost conviction coming on this thing right here. I wouldn't want to follow you as a leader if I didn't know that God wasn't speaking to you. And ladies, I wouldn't want to follow a lady that didn't have God speak to her, that was knowledgeable of Scripture and God speaks to her. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the voice, the utterance of God. I was counseling with a very difficult situation about 2 years ago, and I was baffled. I tried every trick of the trade, and we talked, and finally I just did one of those universal timeouts. I said, tell me, when was the last time you heard God's voice speak to you? What followed that question was dead silence for a very awkward amount of time. Now let me just stop. When was the last time you heard the voice of God speak to you? I'm not talking about your conscience. I'm not talking about your carnal flesh. I'm not talking about the demons of hell, because they can plant seeds of thought into your mind. I'm talking about a holy God
His Spirit speaking to your heart. That man could not come up with the time. I said, certainly you go to church, certainly you're in Sunday school, certainly you, and he said, no. Brother Douglas, I can't remember the last time. Young people, this poses a huge issue. Are we going to be ministers for Christ, servants for Christ? And by the way, a call to ministry is a call to humility. If you're in the ministry because you want to be a hotshot, get out. A call to ministry is a call to humility, each and every one of us. But are you going to lead people? Are you the blind going to lead the other blind? Because that's exactly what's going to happen. And by the way, don't take every voice that you hear in your soul and say, God told me, God told me, God told me. You know, listen, I'm thinking of the story of Gideon. God told him 5 different times what to do, and Gideon's still like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's talk about how you can hear God's voice. Again, faith has a source. Faith must have an object. Faith is obtained by hearing the word of God. Faith is received. Listen to this. Faith is received into the heart when the heart is properly conditioned. James 1:21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Let me break that down because there's other verses that are very similar to it. We got to clean up the kitchen. We got to clean out the refrigerator. We got to clean the plates before we're going to serve food. We got to clean your soul up, and you've got to clean your soul up. Listen, I have to make a choice every morning. Am I going to go about my business ignoring God, or am I going to take time to be holy? And sometimes it takes me quite a while. And I have to say, Lord, there's garbage in my heart. How many of you have ever had garbage in your heart? Come on, testify. Look at once, they're all over. We're all a bunch of sinners. And so I have to confess my known sins. And you know what? If I just look at my heart and I say, yeah, that's wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. Stop saying I'm sorry to the Lord. Just say, forgive me of my sin. But I have to sometimes search really deep and say, God, please, may your Spirit show me the sin in my life. And here's what most Christians do, and I know this from experience counseling with college students, with people. They only think the big things are sin. Are you a respecter of people? That's a sin. Did you confess that? Because you treat this well-dressed, this popular student one way, but this not well-dressed and this not real popular student another way? Confess your sin. Confess your sin. How about self-will? Anybody here have a self-will? Yeah, I'm gonna capture the hill. I'm gonna take the hill. I'm gonna build the biggest church in the whole world. Shut up. Before I came here, I'm thinking all these ideas of what I wanted to say, and the Holy Spirit, Brother Collins, said, just be quiet. Let me guide you with what to say. Because my self-will took over. We need to be selfless, not selfish. Faith is received from the heart when the heart is properly conditioned. What is that verse again? Let's go back to it. God is willing to transmit his word to us, but we're not willing to receive. There's 3 things that need to take place if you want to hear from God. Write these down, please. Number 1, humble yourself. Be ready to obey and be willing to listen. Now, can I address a matter that needs to be addressed? Brother Bill McSpadden, good to see you. Can we be honest with each other? Just give me a shake of the head. How many of you are rebels in here? I'm a rebel sometimes in here. Now, I can present obedience. Mrs. Cowling, is that you over there? That's Brother Cowling over there. I can present an obedient person, but sometimes here it's saying, Can we confess that sin, please? Whoever comes out here to preach in chapel, do you have that preconceived idea? Oh, I'm going to listen to him. Oh, I'm not going to listen to him. You're not going to hear from God then. We put one man up here and we put another man down here. You know, God has used some pretty awkward people before. I'll never forget during chapel, I was a student here, this guy came out and his tie came about to right below his chest. And we're all like, dude, somebody needs to teach him how to tie a tie. He preached one of the most powerful sermons that I heard at Hiles Anderson College. He's just an old country preacher, didn't know any better. But my, how the Spirit of God was all over that man. So once again, let's humble ourselves. Let's obey. We'll determine, I'm going to obey. Whatever God has for me today through this preacher, I'm going to obey. Number three, I'm going to listen. That's real simple. Do you really want to be in the presence of God? Then you have to do those three things. This world is dying and going to hell because we're a bunch of fake, phony Christians. We know the motions. We're in the Pentecostal Baptists. We're workers. We're hard workers. Shut up with that stuff. Fall on your face and say, God, I need to hear from you. God, I need to repent of my sins. Just recently, I was counseling with a husband and wife, and it was a messy, messy situation. It was a family in major crisis. And the wife went off and revealed things about the husband. I'm like, oh, wow. Now, to the husband's credit, he didn't say a word. And I told him privately, after she left, went out, I said, there's just one thing you got to do. What's that, Brother Douglas? Repent. Repent. Change directions, change friends, change decisions, change your judgments, change your attitude. Repent! And can I just challenge the students of Hiles Anderson College, repent in this area? Stop acting like you are so cool. I'll say it again. A call to ministry is a call to humility. It is our human nature to want to be on the top of the hill. Shut up with that stuff. God uses the lowly. God uses the humble people. God uses the Gideons. God uses so many small people. We need to repent in that area. I wished I could go on and talk more about faith, but I'm going to move on here. Number two, God is a relational God. Can I say that again? It was a great day in my life when God was a relational God. Where's Joe? I see Joe over here. Joe, I know Joe because we went on tour together. And Joe agitated me, provoked me, frustrated me over and over again. So I'm going to pay him back here. But you know what? I like Joe. I really do. He's a cool kid. How you doing? A cool man. He doesn't date, but I like the guy, okay? No, just date. Don't set him up. Just date, man. I'm an introvert. We got any introverts here? Introverts are cool. Have you ever run out of gas, run out of emotional energy when you're a big crowd and you almost have to run to the door? Yeah, that's me. Sometimes after big services, I'll say, Tina, do not stop and talk to anybody. She's the opposite of me. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. We're out of here. Are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I got to get out of here. All I need is 10 minutes to get recharged and I can go back at it. Now listen very carefully, but I am relational. I like deep, meaningful relationships. I do. I don't like shallow relationships. I don't. I love when the whole family is over and we were that way Thanksgiving. I love to observe the grandchildren. I love to just listen to, I'm the guy now that sits in the corner and just listens to everybody. That's funny. My kids, intellectually, they're much more intelligent than me. I just listen to them. You're like that too, aren't you, Doc? You're an old guy. Dr. Cowling, I will leave you alone, okay? God is a relational God. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask them. God wants to bless each and every one of you. Hi, Paige. God wants to bless you, dear. Every one of you. He wants to bless you with his presence, with material, with spiritual blessings. But he's waiting on you. I'll say it again. He's waiting on you. Because you're Miss Self-Sufficient. You're Mr. Self-Sufficient. You want to prove to the world, you want to prove to the student body what a great person you are. There's only one person you need to impress, and that's your Heavenly Father. God is engaged with his children. God is generous to his children. God wants to bless his children. God invites his children to pray. Have you prayed today? Have you spent meaningful prayer with God? Have you just surrendered the white flag and say, I'm pathetic? I do that frequently in my prayer, and I'll just say, God, I'm pathetic. And God, I need forgiveness. And God, I need a heavenly hug from you just to affirm you still love me, which he always does and he always will. Number two, God is a relational God. Number three, God's invitation to draw near to him comes with instructions. There are several invitations. Listen, if Mrs. Douglas and I invited you over to our house, we can't have all whatever, how many hundred are there, but if we did and said everybody that walks through the door will receive a $100 bill, and then all ladies will get shopping gift cards, and all guys, we're going to get gift cards to Cabela's or, you know, something like that. And if that doesn't appeal to you guys, you need to man up. You really do. You need to find somebody that can shoot a gun, knows what a shotgun is. Okay, never mind. I'm a little bit distracted here. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, he says, let us draw near. You know what that is? That's an invitation. Evan, draw near. I want you to. I'm giving you an invitation. And to each of us, he gives an invitation. Will you accept the invitation that God has given to each and every one of you to say, I want to be close with you. Draw near. I'm too busy. I'm too busy, Father. I'll get you tomorrow. Tomorrow comes. Let us draw near. Really tired. And the third day comes. The invitation comes. Sorry, God, there's an idol in my heart. There's a little bit of sin in my heart. I got to deal with this. Let us draw near. Let us accept the invitation that God wants to have intimate fellowship with each and every one of us. It's amazing that a holy God invites us for a fellowship. You know, if Brother Wilkerson, Mrs. Wilkerson came up to you privately and said, hey, we want you to come over to our house, you may be a little bit intimidated, but you're going to feel honored. Wow, the pastor and his wife want me at their house. If you got an invitation to the White House, that'd be quite an honor. There is one so much greater that can give you an invitation right now to draw near. May I just say, one of the reasons I love prayer is because I feel safe. I feel protected from all the bombardment going on in this world. I feel protected from all the demonic voices that are trying to distract me. God requires, though, something, and it's called a genuine heart without hypocrisy. Can I preach on hypocrisy for a while? Do we have any hypocrites here? I'm one. Sometimes I put on a front. I don't like it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. One of my favorite words in our vocabulary is transparency. Transparency. Don't be a hypocrite. Be in here what you portray outside to other people. Not the other way around. Be it in here. Next is this. God wants us to come to him believing him. This is where it all begins right here. Do you believe God? We'll bless you. Do you believe that God is a relational God? Julie, hi, how are you doing? You haven't made a smart aleck remark to me yet, so that's good. But God invites you. What's your name, dear? Hi, Rebecca. He wants to have a relationship with you, Rebecca. He does. He wants you to draw near. Hi, Emily, how are you doing? He wants to have a relationship with you, too. I'm trying to find somebody that wants to have a relationship with Joe Barnes. Next. Last point is this: prayer is worship. Is it okay to use the word worship in an independent fundamental Baptist college? Is it okay? Because I love worship. I love close, intimate relationships. I don't draw a lot of people into my circle, but the ones I do have, I like meaningful relationships. God has a very large circle. It's called the human population, and he wants all humans to worship him. Let's just switch the name worship for a while, because there's different ways of worship. Adoration. How many of you girls love cute little puppies? How many of you girls love cute little kittens? I used to throw them off bridges, but you know, it's okay. How many of you guys, you love guns and you just love to look at collections of guns? Last March during the COVID layoff, I really didn't have a whole lot to do. So, Evan, I went and inventoried all my ammo. I have just under 4,000 rounds of ammunition. So, I know, I could get rich. It's like selling silver and gold. You won't get past the front door. Revelations chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. I love this story, and I hope that you can picture it. That he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Each time we pray, a prayer where our sins are confessed, you think of the most beautiful perfume or cologne you've ever smelled. Multiply it to the 100th power, and that's what God smells when we pray. Unfortunately, with college students, I'm sorry, it smells like a guy's dormitory. That can be pretty stinky at times. There's just not much incense being offered up. Those of you who know me, freshmen, you're going to think I'm weird, but I'm an outdoorsman. I go hunting. One of the first things I do when I get out in the woods, I find an evergreen tree, pine tree, evergreen tree, Douglas fir, whatever it may be, and I find a pitch blister, and I pop it. And Brother McSpadden, I rub it on my cuffs here, a bunch of it, just gooey all stuff. And I love the smell of evergreen. And probably every about 30 seconds, I'm in the woods, I'm going, if somebody ever saw me out there, that guy's really interested in keeping time, I'm something like that. I want to be the type of Christian, and I want you to be the type of Christian where God is saying to you, about you, that smells so good. Prayer is worship. Is your God worthy of your worship? And here's just a little side note on worship. It was C.S. Lewis who said this: it is in the process of being worshiped that God communicates his presence to men. You know why? Another reason you don't feel the presence of God? You don't worship him. I'm talking about getting alone, letting the mucus flow and the tears flow. And you know, here's another reason you don't worship, you don't pray. You're just a completely, incredibly selfish person. Wow, that was tough. Listen, I can say that because I know humanity and I know me. And I know what needs to be preached. There are young people right here, you're a good young people, but you are so selfish, self-centered. You're going to make a horrible spouse. And you need to stop worshiping yourself and worshiping the God of all gods. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, I pray that you would smell the sweet scents of incense, a beautiful smell. I pray, Father, that we'll stop making prayer so complicated. I pray, Father, our faith will increase. I pray that much repentance will take place. I pray that young people here, young couples here, will stop being so incredibly selfish. You get older and you'll recognize life is not anything close about you. It's about our Heavenly Father. Repent, please. Turn. The more steps you take in the wrong direction, your character weakens itself.